Each weekday, a member of the community is invited to coffee at KYUK to discuss news and information relevant to Bethel and the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. Coffee at KYUK is where our community connects.
Hello, hello, hello up and down the Cusco. I'm also shouting out to the Yukon and the coast. Grady Deaton here. Coffee at KYUK. As hasn't been usual lately, but is today. I got my coffee on my sideboard, ready to face the day. Joining me on the line, your host, Greg Kim. Good morning, Greg.
Morning. Thanks, Grady. Thank you for our audience for being with us on Coffee at KYUK this morning. I'm your host, Greg Kim. Bethel's new police chief started the job in July. This morning, we're going to talk to Police Chief Richard Simmons, learn a little bit more about him and about how he's handling the job in the first 3 months. Good morning, Chief Simmons.
Hey, good morning, Greg.
Chief Simmons, could you briefly talk about your career in law enforcement before Bethel and where you were?
Before Bethel, I was down in the sunny state of Texas. I had 25 years with the Fort Worth Police Department, which is it's an urban police department, about 1,700 sworn officers, another 1,000 non-sworn support personnel. And I came up through the ranks there. I started off as a patrol officer back in 1995, and had promoted up to lieutenant and had some pretty interesting assignments all the way through to my retirement back in June of this year.
Okay. And what made you want to move to Bethel from Texas? It sounds like a very different policing environment. And has it been what you expected since you moved here?
You know, it's... There's always a group of us down in the lower 48 that sort of eyeball Alaska and look at it as an adventure that we all want to try to fit at some point in our lives. I'm sure you guys have probably heard that before. And it was no different with me. It all just happened to hit at the right time. I was looking for a chief job. I'd been looking local and I'd started to look out of state. And when I saw that Bethel had one open, I gave Amy Davis a call, and we talked, and it seemed like it'd be a good fit.
Mm-hmm. And has it been what you expected since you got here?
To tell you the truth, yes. There's always differences in towns and differences in communities, and obviously I had to catch up a little bit on the differences in the laws that I was used to versus the local laws. Of course, the environment's a little bit different, but people are the same. And as a police officer, that's what we deal with most is people and having to deal with problems that come up in society. And even though we have differences in culture or differences in language, ultimately the core values of a person really revolve around the same things. And that's what we're dealing with police officers. So when I say it was what I expected, it's definitely I expected different, and I expected it to be quite the learning curve, and it has been. But the job itself, police work is police work, really, wherever you go.
Mm-hmm. When we first talked when you got here, you mentioned that your style of policing was community policing. Can you talk more about specifically what that means and if you've been applying that model with the Bethel Police Department?
Community policing is a style that people have – it's a term that people have coined – probably 30 years ago that talks about trying to get back in touch with the community on different levels other than just answering calls. You're talking about working through other community groups to address social problems and having the police department as part of those teams as well, to bring in their perspective and to ultimately, help underlying problems that give rise to disorder or to criminal acts. Now, applying it here, we have ways that we're going to be able to do it, but a lot of this involves face-to-face communication. A lot of it involves meetings and getting to know one another, and COVID has definitely put a kink into that.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have to try to figure out a way around it, but it's not going to be as simple. One, there's not a lot of those things here already, so I'm going to have to sort of start them from scratch. And then there is the ability to communicate with people through telephone and computers rather than in face or face-to-face. That's proven problematic.
I see. Okay. It sounds like community policing involves a lot of, you know, forming partnerships with the group.
Yes, sir.
At the initiative of, you know, the police rather than responding just to the calls that you receive. And like you mentioned, the COVID pandemic has been difficult for that model so far. That's too bad. Chief Simmons, one of the other aspects of the coronavirus pandemic and one of the big things with the city of Bethel going on right now is when the city, Bethel City Council passed its health mandates, like the airport testing mandate and the mask mandate. You and other city officials have said that there won't be any enforcement. Is that still the case today?
No, nobody said there wasn't going to be any enforcement. What people said was they were going to take a soft approach to enforcement, and they were going to try to use education and other means to help people come along. I mean, in essence, what we're talking about is a piece of paper and two rubber bands strapped on your face. And we need to remind everybody that it's not a political statement. It's a way that we're trying to help the community as a group. And our behaviors affect other people. It goes back to educating. It goes back to, again, shaking hands or bumping elbows or whatever happens to work at that particular time, and talking to folks and inviting them to go ahead and come along with the rest of us to try to keep folks healthier. Really what we've seen, contrary to what a lot of people thought we would see, is we haven't seen a 911 call yet concerning any of this. We haven't had anybody call in with large complaints and crazy happenings concerning masks or concerning any of the other things that we've had. What we've seen is the vast majority of citizens here willingly complying with the rules because they understand the underlying reasons for them. And the few folks that were a little bit grouchy about it, well, peer pressure seems to be taking care of a lot of that. The few complaints that we've had come in, it actually has gone through the EOC. And when they come in through the EOC, we'll sit down and we'll talk about what the best way is to approach that. A couple times it's been either myself or a couple of the CSOs going out and chatting with them. But a lot of times it's been either the medical personnel or the fire department or whoever else. We just see, and honestly, we see what kind of relationships we have with that particular person or group, and we'll use those to our best advantage.
Oh, okay. All right. Can you talk a little bit more about those specific examples of complaints that have come through the EOC? Were they about people who didn't test at the airport or groups that weren't
masking? No, it was more masking. It was more masking complaints.
I see. Mm-hmm.
It wasn't, as far as the stuff out at the airport, we haven't received complaints of that at all coming in. Or if it has, it hasn't included the police department. So really what it is, like I said, I think it has to do a lot with the community holding each other accountable and the community using a little bit of peer pressure to help everybody just go ahead and do what they're supposed to do for a little bit until we get over this.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned one of the reasons why the police officers aren't patrolling the airport is because that there aren't enough police officers to do that job. Exactly how many police officers does the department have?
Actually, the police department has budgeted 16 positions. That's counting the chief all the way down to the newest position that was just put on through a grant for a school resource officer.
Mm-hmm.
Out of those 16 positions, right now we have 11 filled. And I'm actually sitting on a 30-day notice from another guy who is getting ready to leave. So we have enough people to barely keep two people on the street at any given time. And when you're talking between 30 and 40 calls a day for service for the police officers in this town, I'm just not going to lie to anybody and say that we have extra people sitting around to sit out at the airport. We also don't have, because half of our officers, a touch over half of our officers, don't live here in Bethel, I don't have extra people in town on their time off. The two officers that work during the day, if it is something really crazy, we end up waking up the two guys that are sleeping that work the night shift. And between the four of them and me, we figure it out. So, you know, I don't want it to be an alarmist to anybody, but I've got to position resources where they're most needed. and I have to take care of the calls that are coming in that are immediate threats to people's property or their lives first, and then everything else gets triaged after that.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That's fewer police officers than I imagined were on the road at a time. Outside of the coronavirus pandemic, is that enough officers to provide adequate law enforcement for a community of 6,000 plus people, in your opinion?
Well, in my opinion, no. And it's more than just the size of the town that you got to look at. You got to look at the call volume. You got to look at the nature of the town itself. Bethel, our little cute town of Bethel here, has big city problems. And the reason for that is that we are the big city out here in the YK Delta. So we see some of the stuff, you know, with the substance abuse and the homeless problems and the other social issues that come up with being the hub. And because of that, I think we see an increase in calls overall. Now, obviously, the closing of the liquor stores helped out considerably, but there's still a growth that we need to take into consideration. And I don't want folks to think that just because the new chief comes in that he automatically says we need to grow things. I'm happy to sit down with folks and sort of outline and show them what I'm talking about. But even then, growing it is one thing. Right now I'm having a hard time filling the positions that I got. So that's probably another discussion that's going to be going on with city leaders during the budgeting process this next time around, so that we can better address what we need to not only hire officers, but keep officers here.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What do you have any ideas for how to better keep officers here?
In the past, they have not offered moving incentives to bring people here and to encourage them to actually relocate to Bethel proper. I think that would probably help. The traveling attracts some types of officers, and they're willing to do it and allows them to keep whatever they had back wherever they're at. And it works to some degree, but having it to where people don't have to travel and helping pick up the relocation expense, I think, would be probably the first step. And within the budgeting model, when we got vacancies, that means that we have line item savings already, that money could be reallocated to some of that. That's not something I have the authority to do on my own, but it's something that I will be discussing with, you know, other leaders, and we'll find the best way to do that. Another thing that's going to be interesting here soon is all across the United States and here in Alaska also, less and less people are becoming police officers. They're watching the news and they're seeing what's going on, and there's a lot of families that are steering young men and women that would otherwise be very good officers away from the career field. And I think ultimately as citizens, that's going to end up costing all of us later on down the line. Because for us to attract them back to being officers in our community, I can only imagine what that's going to look like as far as a pay and benefits package. So what that's going to come out, I don't know. We're still in the midst of all those problems, but it's definitely going to affect it.
Mm-hmm. What about attracting folks who already live here to be Bethel police officers? Are there any ideas or more initiatives that you've thought of to try and encourage people here to become police officers?
Actually, yeah, we have a really good way of bringing folks in with our community safety patrol program and our community services officer. That's five different uniform support positions within this department that are out on the street and that folks see regularly performing their duties, everything from dog catching to serving subpoenas to picking up folks that have had a bit too much to drink and getting them to the sobering center. Those positions, I can hire folks at age 18. And what we've seen historically with this department is we'll pick folks up into one of those positions, and we'll sort of hang on to them. They get to know the police department and the community. We get to know them. And it's quite the training ground to be able to then turn around and turn them into Bethel police officers. I've got five gentlemen right now that are in those positions, and all of our staff positions are currently full, so we're good on that part of it. those five folks would all make good officers. I'm just waiting to the point that I can get them to where they meet the age requirements to where we can go ahead and do that. But the other thing that's a possibility is bringing in some intern-type part-time positions into the police department also. That would not only help by bringing folks in a little bit earlier in their life and introducing them to the police department a little bit earlier, but that could also be a way that then we can turn around and start engaging the community through those community policing meetings and organizations that we just talked about previously. Having staff like that to do it, and then it allows me to introduce a young person who's thinking about being an officer into the concepts of community policing, and it becomes part of their core set of values with the job.
Awesome. And aside from growing the police department in the ways that you've been talking about, are there any other changes or improvements you want to make within the Bethel Police Department, and what direction do you want to take this department?
You know, honestly, Amy and the officers that were here with her are a good little police department. They handle their business. They got a very good reputation throughout the state with all the other law enforcement agencies surrounding us. And I can assure you that I called some buddies that I was at the FBI National Academy with before I took this position to sort of see what I was getting myself into. Really, our next thing is to better organize internally. We need a couple more supervisor positions, and I need a couple more positions that are going to be strictly focused on investigations. We're so busy answering calls right now that I don't feel like we're able to go in depth into the investigations. We do some of them, but again, it ends up being a triage type situation. It's time probably now for this department. I mean, again, the town's getting big enough to support us being able to deal with organized crime and some plainclothes-type operations that need to start happening around here.
Wow, very interesting. Well, that's all the time we have for today, but thank you so much for being with us on Coffee at KYUK this morning, Chief.
Hey, Greg, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Yep. You've been listening to Bethel Police Chief Richard Simmons talk about his first 3 months on the job. I'm your host, Greg Kim. Back to you, Grady.
Thanks, Greg, that leaves just one thing left to say to listeners, and that is don't forget to be awesome to each other.
Each weekday, a member of the community is invited to coffee at KYUK to discuss news and information relevant to Bethel and the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. Coffee at KYUK is where our community connects.